Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. There are three magical words in the English language that hold the key to unlocking infinite freedom and fulfillment in your married life, and by extension in your entire life. You're a married man, your husband, you're listening into this married life and how you engage with it and the results that you experience from it. Most importantly, inner world results inside your nervous system. The peace of mind that knowing you're entering a space, you know, every morning when you enter that space, you know that you've got the strategies, you've got the will, the way, you've got the playbook to unlock infinite expanding freedom and fulfillment. This is not the reality for the vast majority of men out there. It's just so far from being the reality. The vast majority of men are experiencing, like myself years ago, a lot of resistance and emotional psychological resistance. Just this resistance in your nervous system is resistance to life. And the byproducts of that resistance is infinitely expanding resentment and regret. And most men, most husbands in marriage are experiencing a ton of resentment and regret. Even if you don't bring it to the surface, or it only spills out when you're really pissed. But when I get down and talking with men from around the planet, in circle, in coaching, one-on-one, it doesn't matter what the context is, and we start a conversation about resentment and regret, resenting your queen, resenting family life, even resenting having had kids because it just had made things so much more complex, and there's this part of you that just wants to be a nice guy and you don't really mean it, but deep down there is a subconscious part that is resenting the whole lot. So there's this resistance, emotional psychological resistance to what is, creates this infinitely expanding, deepening byproducts of resentment and regret. Everything that is putrid and horrible about the emotional experience in marriage. Resentment and regret. I don't know about you, but I don't want any more of that. If I can find a way that will eliminate resentment and regret and shunt from resistance, creating those byproducts into flow. When you flow with what is, you create infinitely expanding freedom and fulfillment. And freedom is at the core of masculine being. The masculine heart and soul is completely lined up with this deep yearning to experience limitless freedom. And I would say freedom from an inside perspective is the ultimate masculine freedom. You know, you can be a millionaire multiple times over and still not feel a sense of inner freedom. The inner freedom of peace, of joy, of being absolutely perfectly fine in your own skin, in love with yourself, in love with all of the aspects of your beingness, the perfection of who you are and the world around you. That's what we're looking for. So I'm slowing down with that bit of context before I land these three words, because these three words are so freaking simple. They're three words, man. It's like one, two, three. You say them. Line them up in a row. Boom, it's done. And yet, they are three words that trigger the most resistance, the most emotional, psychological resistance within men. And hence, these three simple words are the most underutilized, highest leverage words in the English language for husbands to be using frequently. with a bit of context, let's jump in. What are these mystical, magical words to say to your queen? And no, they're not the simple, I love you, albeit they are super potent. These other three words might even top the I love you. The most obvious three words for a husband to be saying to his beautiful queen. These mystical, magical words, wait for it, they are like so ridiculously simple, are these. You are right. And 90% of the guys listening in, you've got an instantaneous migraine. You've got, you know, there's a pain throbbing down your left arm. Oh, is it a heart attack? You're having a stroke. You're like, you are right. 50% have just like stopped this episode. It's like, I can listen to anything else, but I am not going to use those words with my wife. Well, that was definitely me of like 6 years ago. Fighting tooth and nail to be right. My queen would start telling me, oh, but you were late. You did this thing that was off and making love. You shouldn't say that to the girls. You need to be more this. Why did you serve that? You know that Anya doesn't like that. Like a multitude, any time she would give me feedback, I would go into an immediate proving that I was right and she was wrong, that she wasn't right. I'd start defending, I'd start rationalizing. I start arguing with the, you know, with the minute details of what she was saying. So a part of me might have even realized and just there was some truth, but you know, you use the word always, it's not always. And then I get caught in arguing with her wording off it. And you know, how did it work out? Well, for me, you know, enough years of that happening, and my queen, you know, I've spoke about this before in previous episodes, but if you're new to it, you know, it's like, well, 6 years ago at this point, I had invited a guy to stay in our home for 3 weeks and a bed board. He'd do a bit of work and seemed like a cool exchange. Definitely has helped me revolutionize and liberate myself, my queen, in my marriage. So there was some beautiful use to inviting him in. And yet I never want to speak to this dude again, because he came in and whatever. My queen ended up falling intoxicatingly in love with him. But that wasn't on that dude. That was on me. I wasn't showing up. So the end result of habitually, by default, arguing with my queen when she was giving me feedback was not working. And I have since discovered that the simplest, most powerful words that I say to create an expanding, ever-deepening level of trust that my queen has in me. Right now, there's a part of me, like I am at home with how much she trusts me, and yet if I try and project myself back into the nervous system that I had that was perceiving my world and thus creating my world 6+ years ago in the lead up to that marriage breakdown, breakthrough experience, it's that part of me back then couldn't fathom that my queen could trust me as much. And the thing is, that part of me back then, more importantly, didn't realize I could be so trustworthy as a man. Not only with my queen, but with my kids. Not only with my queen and my kids, with other men. In all my interactions. And these words, definitely in marriage, but hey, in parenting, they're super high leverage. There's nothing more empowering to tell your kids that, hey, son. Hey, kiddo. Kiddo is my word for the girls. You're right. Kids will call you to account as well. And the major thing is, like, why do we resist them so much? Well, that could be like a 2-hour episode in and of itself, but we were born into this profoundly sick society that trounced upon our truth, our authentic full expression. It shamed us. It bet us up psychologically. Maybe even some people have experienced being physically bet up. Our authentic full expression was not honored at all. And trauma, as defined by Gabor Mate, trauma is disconnection from authentic self. Disconnection from who you truly are. So it's the pathways in our nervous systems, and we all have them. I have yet to meet a man that has reached out to me that has an inbuilt comfort with saying, you are right. He wouldn't be reaching out for support. These words are that powerful that when you land them sincerely, like from a sincere level of, hey, babe, you know, you're right. You are right. And you receive feedback with that level of visceral ease, knowing that, you know, your queen's feedback is your springboard to infinite freedom and fulfillment. Well, how powerful is that? Why would you resist that? Why would you do anything but create free flow, flowing the flow of energy between your queen and yourself, her heart and your heart, and go, hey, baby, you are right. Why would you do anything else? It's trauma. It's this semi-permanent, and it's not permanent, but it feels permanent, the semi-permanent fuck you that we learned to defend against assholery in the world. And it's a pathway from childhood. And yeah, you know, it's like you're not you're not responsible for the profoundly sick society and the environment that you grew up in that caused your younger self to create this defensive loop of, I'm going to kick back against anybody that tells me I'm not doing things right. You know, it makes sense. Everything is understandable. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. It doesn't mean that you're broken. I would say it means that every single man out there has some, in some way, shape or form, a deep pit of shame, of indoctrinated belief of inadequacy, and it can be really, really deep down. That's why we defend. It's the unowned shame in us that has us with this default defensiveness and resistance to telling people you are right if they have given us any feedback. And it's particularly potent, particularly resistant, the pathways in resisting our queen telling us something that seems to suggest we've fucked up, that we are wrong, that we did not do things correctly, etc., etc. And yet, you know, if trauma is disconnection from authentic self, and, you know, you can defend that, well, that will not bring your authentic self back online. The beautiful thing is, and the paradoxical, the brain fuck is leaning into saying these words powerfully, directly to your queen, often, you are right, is actually the key to unlock your authentic full expression, to remember, to reconnect, to, you know, reintegrate, bring back online your full authentic expression. And you could have a ton of kickback with that, but I'm telling you, this is true. You say you are right, little and often. You see, your queen's greatest gift, whether you like it or not, your queen's greatest gift is she's been initiating for decades. She's been initiating herself for decades in moon time, 3-4 days per month. And that's the more obvious part of it. But there's literally days and weeks leading up and back, the whole entire cycle. But let's just focus on the most obvious part, like 3 or 4 days per month of bleeding for decades. That's a every month, this cyclical, intense resensitization of her emotional system to be super sensitive to picking up within a nanosecond your state of consciousness or not. She's this incredible fine-tuned bullshit smelling machine to support you. Now, again, the profoundly sick society that has indoctrinated us men with this deep, actually disgusting level of entitlement that women aren't of any worth. They've been sort of hacked out, put to the side in organized religion, predominantly, don't get into any arguments, but predominantly chucked to the side. You know, if you're not born with certain genitalia, hey, you're not going to be the spokesperson up there in the pulpit, or you're not going to be in many different organized religions. There's just a ton of things that women have been bombarded with to be these submissive beings that just submit to men, and men we have felt entitled, and this has been handed down, and it's conditioning from a profoundly sick society. It doesn't work. Women, you go back millennia ago, actually the godhead was the goddess. You go back long enough ago, the initial religious spiritual ideologies, it was the goddess. And in the social structure of all ancestral lineages, there was this profound reverence of the divine feminine as embodied in the female body, the female heart and soul. And it was intuitively based because in the moon time, they knew that there was this phenomenal spiritual process that women went through. And they would go through it together, and there was a divine reverence of that being a superpower. You fast forward to today, and it's like, you know, the women's moon cycle just isn't spoken about. It's like this dirty thing. It's like, and women bleeding, it's like men will talk about it like it's this disgusting thing. And women are publicly advertising is pointed that this is this disgusting thing, that you want to hide it, that you just want to not even surrender to it, that you take this tablet and you don't have pains, or you take this tablet, you don't even bleed. You take, you know, it's like you use this product and you can, like my queen laughs at it, is like there's these advertisements. She saw an advertisement where, yeah, there was this one out, horse riding with a big smile on her face. And she was like, Matilda was like, they're putting that advertising up. That's bullshit. It's like, you never feel like doing stuff like that. So beyond all of that, you know, we have been indoctrinated and made believe that that queenly feedback, feminine feedback, is not worthy. And this is, number one, disgusting. It's horrible. It denies the sacredness of the divine feminine and the power, the absolute infinite power that it brings to us as men to liberate ourselves. So when you line up with this, when you have the spiritual balls to line up and go, okay, I'm going to lean into this game, I'm going to give this a shot. And I challenge you to give this a shot, not to listen in and go, yeah, well, I'm philosophically listening in, it sort of makes sense, but then you don't really take action on it and integrate this wisdom in your lived life. I do encourage you to do a 30-day challenge to yourself. Go, okay, I'm going to try this out. Let's see if this son of gun mark makes any sense at all. And you go, like, literally, see how often you can tell your queen that she is right. When she gives you feedback, don't get into the gnarly bullshit. Like, there's the cognitive distortions. That's when I receive feedback, I came upon the categories of cognitive distortions recently. And, oh man, looking back, I had cognitive distortions everywhere when my queen was giving me feedback. Everywhere. It was like a cognitive distortion. Distortion. Listen to the term. It's distorting reality. not masculine practice, unsexy, unsafe, unworthy of being a trustworthy man. So trust is like the gold standard of what real men want to be trusted more than loved. When you're trustworthy, that is love. You will feel a love and an inner peace when you're like, my queen trusts me. It's more valuable than love. The love is a byproduct of being a trustworthy man. The love flows. You need to nail in being trustworthy first before you're looking for the love. Maturing men, I'm bringing in these new terms into the culture here. There's beaten boy, temperamental teenager, maturing man, and hey, conscious king, that's the elder part of ourselves. That's the road to enlightenment. It's like that ideal that we point ourselves towards. The maturing man receives feedback because he knows his infinite freedom lies the far side of it. He knows that his queen is sublimely positioned to be able to give super powerful feedback that will allow him like this infinite access, a day-to-day, moment-to-moment access to high-level feedback on his levels of consciousness or not. And that when you lean into that, you get better. Life gets better. You get better as a communicator, better as a husband, better as a lover, better as a human being, more effective as a dad. Everything is cool. So I challenge you to commit like this. If you're receiving feedback, then and find the part in it that find the diamond in the rough. That is part of masculine practice. She might, your queen might even say it messy. And if she says it messy in a way that might even sound nasty, trust me, masculine practice is realize that the 99.999999% chance is the reason she's saying it in a spiky way is she is so freaking fed up of her feedback not being received. She deep down knows spiritually that's her one of her greatest gifts to you, and you're resisting it so habitually that if she's spiky, just take it on the chin, man, and realize, hey, you've probably been a donkey's arsehole for like decade or more, depending on how long you're in marriage. If you're in marriage like 30 years, we'll just assume that for the greater part of 3 decades. You know, like, you've been resisting the feedback. So don't take it too personally in the beginning that she's a bit spiky. Trust that it's the momentum of your resistance to her feedback. That's why it's such a cagey, nerve-wracking moment for a queen. She knows she's inherently unsafe, but she's going to tell you anyway. So it's music to her ears when you go, you know what, baby? You're right. And tune into her. Her nervous system in the beginning, I know with my queen, in the beginning, Matilda's nervous system, they were like, what just happened? Like, you know, they were there. Her nervous system was there sort of like ready to just argue, ready to fight with me, ready to like protect her hurting heart because she's telling me something about fucking our love life, the way I'm communicating that it creates pain for her, the way I'm like I was acting like an asshole with her kids. Like, she was giving me all this divine, super high leverage, incredible feedback that if I just had dropped my balls would have liberated me like decades ago. I was resisting that. Her nervous system was just primed and ready for fight or flight. I'm going to fight with this. I'm going to have a default argument because he always argues. Like, her nervous system was primed for the fight. And when I started going, you know what? You are right. She didn't know what to do. Her nervous system was like, but the, what? I'm like, you're right. I get your point. I've been late recently. I need to show up in time. Clearly, it's meaningful for you, and I believe that's going to be a good thing for me because I need to be more effective in doing whatever. And it's like, hey, you're right. You know, that is not a nice way to communicate to girls. I don't want to make any excuses on this. You're right. I'm committing now, baby, to be more patient with him going forward. You know, like, oh, you know, you're never listening to me. I wouldn't argue with the, you know, the never. But whatever, she's telling me I'm not listening. You know what, baby? I get it. You are right. I was actually caught in my own head there as you were talking to me. I was caught trying to find a solution and trying to fix the situation. That wasn't helpful. You're right. I wasn't fully listening. I'm sorry. They could be the three other most potent words. I'm sorry. Sincerely said. But I find that the full focus on you are right, that can be enough most of the times. I sparingly use the words I'm sorry. I very frequently use you are right. You are right. Other potent ways that to speak to it without defending. This is not a defense. You know, you're right, baby. Baby, I also want you to know, it's like, it wasn't the intention of my heart to make you feel like this. You can speak to that. It was not my intention. However, let's focus on you are right. It's music to her ears. You will be shunting your nervous system to receiving her greatest gift. In the landing of these words, the plate that you serve it on is important. Beaten boy, temperamental teen, maturing man. If you land it from the energetic in you of beaten boy, you know, it'll sound like, you're right. You know, it's a shame-induced, poor me, I'm a victim of the world. So if you do it from beaten boy, you know, poor me, you're right, you know, like, one more time, I'm wrong, you know. I've just always been incomplete and wrong, you know. Like, if you land it from there, guys, if she, I don't want physical violence, but if she wants to smack you in the face, hey, that's just a primal response. You're not going to gain the evidence that I'm suggesting is available to you if you come from beaten boy. So don't do that. Temperamental teenager, that fucker, like, that part in you and that part in me, he's just an arrogant son of a gun. He wants to be right 24/7. It's temperamental teenage. He doesn't, that part doesn't actually know how to say you are right to anybody. The temperamental teenage part of you is actually the most common thing that we need to work with. That's why 99% of wives out there, you know, when asked, you know, my queen, she works with women all around the world. And when she's working with women that are married, she works with daughters of narcissistic mothers. But hey, the conversation quite often naturally goes to the women are having issues with in their relationships as a sort of side effect, a knock-on effect of their deep wounding with their mother. They tend to have marital issues. And my queen will ask one thing, and it elicits the exact same response every time without any exception. My queen will go to these beautiful women. She will say this. She's like, do you ever find sometimes that you just want to tell your husband, stop being so fucking childish? And these women will light up. It's like they've had the final permission, the validation from the outside. And it's a real visceral thing. And it's not women connecting together to go against men. There's a deep, sincere validation. They can feel when we are immature. And that's the temperamental teen part. It's the beaten boy part. And the temperamental teen part doesn't have the humility to go, you are right. He's just out. There's a gnarly cunt part that just wants, I'm right. I'm right. I'm never going to be wrong. I'm right. I'm an island. I'm a rock. Look at me. I'm right by myself. I'm an independent lone wolf. I'm fucking right. He's a real, that part is like, it's out on the defense. He's fight or flight 24/7. He might, and he jacks off. Like, being right to him is, think, that part psychologically is like, the righteous high is how he feels good about himself. Once he's right, there's a high. It's sort of like the equivalent of the temperamental teenager jacks off to porn and thinks he's having a meaningful human experience. You know, like, it's almost like that's comparably pleasurable to making love with your queen. It's like, it's not. The righteous high is, there's no power in that. The maturing man, that's where you landed from. The maturing man knows there's nothing to do about being inadequate. There's nothing to do about being, you know, saying you are right is not meaning that you are wrong as a person. It's not meaning, oh, she's caught you out. It's not meaning that you fucked up again. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It means your queen has merely gifted you a growed opportunity to become a better, more wholesome, more trustworthy man. Which means for you, you're going to feel, when you lean into this, way more trust in yourself. And number two, your queen, because you drop your resistance to her gifting, offer feedback, her feedback will come, I'm going to say 90%, sweeter and more direct and more simply placed on a platter in front of you than you ever imagined was possible. Your queen's prickliness, I used to hate my queen's feedback to me, and she used to land it in what I thought were god-awful, horrible ways, but I now look back retrospectively going, I put like a minefield in front of her to land it. She had to be prickly. She had to be use language and use tones that were horrible. But they weren't inherently horrible. The poor woman, I was just putting just these horrible obstacles in front of her. So the maturing man knows this is a power game. He's not giving his power away. He's stepping into his power. You're right, baby. A real potent thing that you can do, guys, is if you like using humor. I love using humor. I find humor is brilliant. But, you know, in that moment, yeah, sometimes there can be tension. Sometimes, you know, I've unwittingly fucked up in a way. And it's like, I'm not that I'm failed, but it's like, oh, fuck, I didn't realize. But if there's a tension in the moment, humor, I love bringing in humor. And it's like, you know, I do this. I don't know if it'll come across in a microphone, but it's like, you're right. You know, and my queen immediately laughs. It's like, I'm trying to cover up the admitting that I'm wrong and you're right. You know, it's like, you're right. And I'm like, baby, this kills me. This absolutely is killing me. What you're telling me is killing me. And you know what the worst thing is? You are right. And she cracks up because there's humor in it. I'm bringing humor in and it slices through. It dissipates all the tension. It's like, oh, Jesus. Oh, baby, the migraine. Oh, heart. Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's like you landed your style. Whatever you do, bring humor, bring spaciousness, be completely open and know that it's one of the greatest power moves you will ever use in your beautiful marriage, and it brings everything back into flow. And then ... it's also true, you need to back your shit up. If you say you are right, you know, when she's pissed off because you're late for the umpteenth time, course correct, stop being fucking late. If she's, you know, you're losing your patience with the kids and you say, oh, hey baby, you're right, well, do whatever is necessary to stop losing your patience with the kids. You know, it's like, you need to back the shit up to claim the fullness of this. But you are right. I'm setting a challenge to you, a 30-day You Are Right challenge. Every time that your queen gives you feedback, buckle up, get out of beaten boy, get out of temperamental teenager who's just going to battle like a real immature fool for 20 minutes, 2 hours, arguing that you're actually right and there's parts and lots of what she's saying that's just not true. Don't do that. Shunt into maturing man. Man up, drop your spiritual balls out of your pelvis and go, baby, you are right. Listen, find a diamond in the rough. There's going to be epic data there and start on that upward spiral of infinite, the infinite game of untapping into the infinite freedom and fulfillment that lies the far side of your queen's beautiful, divine, feminine feedback to you. The infinite game is available once you start declaring, proclaiming, and gifting your queen those sweet, beautiful, masculine, spiritual words. You are right. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this amazing movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.